Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Giannis Patelis, Brody Henderson, Seth Morris, Sean Weaver, Alyssa Smith, Rick Hutton, and Max Barda. If you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. But there's a twist for this week's episode of Trivia. This is episode one of the 2022 Meat Eater Trivia Tournament. There will be three episodes total, and by the end of the last one, we'll have crowned a champion of Meat Eater Trivia for 2022. How you guys feel about that?
Real good.
It's pretty exciting.
Y'all think you got a shot?
Nope.
I sure don't.
I want to know what happens if you win this playoff, but overall someone has more wins than you in the regular season.
That's okay. That's how competitive sports work. It's not always the best team that wins. It's like the best team for the last five games of the year or the last five series of the year or whatever. So,
a team that has like two wins in the regular season in the NFL doesn't even make the playoffs.
Well, this is to get into the final episode.
You're not taking previous performance into consideration.
Now hold that thought, Brody. We'll get back to that here very soon. So here's how this is going to work.
First, you're not going to touch on your cutoff sweatshirt.
Yeah,
at all?
I was
and tell people
ask
about this.
Yeah, I got a cutoff sweatshirt. I've made a couple of them this last year. I think this is like the perfect garment for Montana. You don't have the sleeves. You can like still throw up a hood. This was inspired by New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick, who's been rocking one for like a decade.
Yeah.
And it looks terrible, but I love it. I think everyone should have one.
Do you find that your forearms often get overheated?
Usually it's my armpits.
Yeah, it's just kind of clunky. I find that I'm often rolling my sleeves up on a sweatshirt, so I cut the sleeves off of this sweatshirt.
Spencer's getting a new tattoo like once a week.
So here's what I'm getting.
I was just gonna say he has tattoos to show off.
This was a pre-tattoo move.
Spencer, I think you should clarify though. For listeners, it's not like a cutoff, like the entire sleve is cut off.
I have some of those too. You do?
Okay.
Yeah, that's
this is
like
just
a
your
really
half
nice,
sleeve.
This is like a t-shirt with a hood that's made out of sweatshirt material. Highly recommended.
Do you have any where like the bottom hem is cut off a little bit?
No belly shirts. If I was rocking that Giannis Patelis bod, maybe.
The runner's bod.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to just like show navel. This is just to show off the arm tattoos.
All right. I appreciate you telling everybody about that. I'm going to go try it. I have so many hoodies at home. I got no problem sacrifice.
You should should talk to our merchandising department and maybe they can develop a
meteor
version.
Then talk to First Light about a hooded vest.
Oh, you know what
scenario.
I did? Speaking of First Light, I did that with my Leafy suit.
Oh.
Mm. Mainly because I forgot a lens cover one time and I was running my 70-200, which is white.
Uh huh.
And so I cut my sleeve off right there and slipped that over my lens.
Off one arm.
That one is arm. A hot but tip. I realized that I freaking love it.
No, it's just running one arm though.
Well, no, I do it to both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's how this is going to work. This episode has seven players on it, four of which will move on to the championship. The next episode will have seven new players on it. And just like with this show, only four of them will move on to the next round. By episode three, we'll be down to the last eight contestants, and one of those eight will be crowned the champion. Now, just like with organized sports, I thought it'd only be right to reward those players who have shown regular season dominance. So, as the top dog in Meat Eater Trivia, I'm granting Brody Henderson an automatic bid to make it to the third episode. That means Brody is already moving on, and there are three other spots that are now up for grabs for you other six players. So, Brody.
So, I could really screw someone.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're only taking four.
I'm taking you taking plus three others. So Brody,
well, yeah.
Brody is automatically me, moving on.
I get you.
Now, Brody, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Between these other six players, who do you think it will be the three that move on to the championship? Got to give us an answer.
You can be objective. Putting me on the spot. You're not
don't hem and haw.
Giannis, Rick, and Seth, I think, are mine.
Oh, he knew it. Okay. He didn't even have to think about that. Oh,
I'm sorry, God. Alyssa. Sorry, Max.
I think you guys should be worried about the underdog here.
Alyssa?
You? I went 0 for 10 last time. I don't even know why I'm here.
You didn't have to remind people, Max.
Well, we were just
everyone
gonna
loves an underdog, Max.
I know.
We're just going to keep that between us, but
okay.
Good on you.
I got
being
so much
honest.
Shit from that last episode.
I'm surprised to hear about this little buy situation, because originally when the email came out, there were no buys. There must have been a bunch of complaining that went on.
I saw what? Two emails
there was,
that
there
were
There was some complaining, and I thought they had merit. So I went with it. I like the idea of granting a bye to those players. Not that I think Brody needs it. I imagine he's going to be in the top four anyway. But just in case he has a fluke performance, our guy with the most wins is going to be in the championship.
Yeah, he needs to be there. Bill Belichick would accept the first round bye for sure.
Yeah, the organized sports, man. Now, in a previous game of trivia, Brody called me out for using the word funner and ask if that's really a word. Well, according to Merriam-Webster, it is. So long as you use funner or funnest as adjectives, they are acceptable. On that show, when I said this will be a funner stat to look at a year from now, it was an adjective, so therefore it was correct. So, Brody, I hope this makes you feel a bit stupider for not knowing that funner is a word. And yes,
it does
stupider,
make me feel dumber.
Stupider yes. is a word.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I can say things like mule deer hunting is funner than whitetail hunting.
Sure, that'll work.
Work?
Yeah, you just start throwing around. It's gonna like make people want to scratch their ears, but I think you should do it anyway.
All right.
Also on a previous game of trivia, Cal asked who the heaviest president we've had is. That honor goes to William Taft, who was 340 pounds. He's followed by Grover Cleveland at 260 and Donald Trump at 239. At the other end of the spectrum is James Madison, our lightest president ever. He stood 5 feet 4 inches tall and weighed in at just over 100 pounds, which means it would take about 3.1 James Madisons to equal one William Taft. And with that, we are on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Round one.
Question one. The topic is fishing. This first great question comes to us via Kale Patterson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, send it to trivia@themeateater.com. And as always, this first question will be multiple choice. What was the most stocked fish by federal hatcheries in 2021? Was it channel catfish, Chinook salmon, American shad, or bluegill? Again, what was the most stocked fish by federal hatcheries in 2021. Your choices are channel catfish, Chinook salmon, American shad, or bluegill. Does everybody have an answer? Good over there, Seth. Oh, lots of erasing.
Ooh, you should never change your answer, man.
Stick with your gut.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying American shad. Rick saying Chinook salmon. Brody saying Chinook salmon. Alyssa saying Chinook salmon. Max saying American shad. Seth saying Chinook salmon. And Giannis saying Chinook salmon. The room did very well. The answer is Chinook salmon.
0 for 11.
Chinook salmon were overwhelmingly the most stocked fish in 2021. Hatcheries released over 37 million of them, which is followed by walleye at 27 million, American shad at 9 million, and rainbow trout at 8 million.
I think that federal was a little hint you gave there.
It's definitely a hint, because federal hatcheries sort of have an emphasis on like threatened, endangered, vulnerable species, while state agencies usually focus more on game fish. So that's sure. That's definitely a notable part of the question. We're at question two. The topic is conservation. What is the only ferret that's native to North America? Again, what is the only ferret that's native to North America? There's some confident writing going on in the room.
Oh, by most of the players. I believe that the answer is going to make for some fun.
You think so?
Are you feeling me? You know what I'm talking about?
Maybe. We'll see. Does everybody have an answer?
Right. If Steve is here, going.
His is a little higher pitched.
I can only think of weasels right now.
You have an answer, Max?
Just ferret.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying the black-footed, Rick saying black-footed, Brody saying black-footed, Alyssa saying the white ferret, Max without an answer,
yeah.
Seth and Giannis saying the black-footed. They got it. The answer is the black-footed ferret. Their population used to range from Canada to Mexico, but now they're only found in about a half dozen states. They're considered to be one of the most endangered mammals on the continent, with only about 300 left in the wild.
Do you know how they found them?
I feel like Steve's talked about this before. Wasn't there one like
some
in
some dude's
garage? Some
rancher's dog brought one home in Meteetse, Wyoming.
That's right.
Question three.
I thought it was going to be fun because of the whether or not we had to use the hyphen.
No. Spelling doesn't matter unless I say it does.
Which recently was a topic on a Meat Eater podcast.
That's right.
Because Steve's mad that Pat Durkin thinks that you should still use the hyphen when you say white-tailed deer. That brings up that post that you had the other day where Pat Durkin called Steve an ignorant slut.
Really enjoyed that.
But you didn't explain what the context around it was in your post.
You mean like what Dirk is referencing or why he called Steve an ignorant slut?
Yes. Aren't they one and the same thing?
Well, like the conversation was around the white-tailed deer topic, but Dirk was, of course, what I thought, quoting The Office, but it turns out that reference is even older and goes back to SNL. Which I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a character that Dan Aykroyd played on SNL.
But what's the context for that? Who is he calling?
He was like a correspondent for the Weekend Update desk, and they would be having a conversation and be going, "That's nice, Jan. You ignorant. They're like, you're wrong, right? I don't remember, but like it was his catchphrase, and that's what Michael Scott got from The Office.
You know, Durkin, I think, would be a formidable opponent.
Trivia.
Mm-hmm. That guy knows a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. We got to have him out.
I'd love
next year.
That's right.
Will you make that happen?
We can definitely make that happen. But my familiarity again was Michael calling Dwight an ignorant slut. But I had no idea the reference was even older, and Dirk being even a layer deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
I can really appreciate someone who's around age 70 calling Steve an ignorant slut.
Yeah, but Pat wouldn't actually just fly off the hook and call anybody ever that. So it was great that he was referencing something.
That's right. Question three: the topic is foraging. Wild rice is the official grain of what Glacial Lake state? Wild rice is the official grain of what Glacial Lake state? A lot of thinking going on here.
Really?
Seemed as though nobody knew it right off the bat.
I just wasn't sure on the abbreviation. So I just want to make sure I'm going to spell it out.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying Minnesota, Rick saying Minnesota, Brody saying Minnesota, Alyssa saying California, a long way from the Great Lakes, Max saying Minnesota, Seth saying Minnesota, and Giannis saying Minnesota.
You didn't say Great Lakes. You said Glacial Lakes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Glacial Lakes. Yeah. I meant Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. You all got it anyway. It is Minnesota.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait. No. That's my bad. I was thinking Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Hey, there's a lot of rice. A lot of rice grown in California.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Wasn't
that's
that
for
bad
sure
of an answer at all.
There is also wild rice in California.
I'm sorry, Alyssa. I should not have shamed you for your answer. I did not say Great Lakes like I meant to. I said Glacial Lakes. Michigan has been attempting to pass a bill since 2018 that would also make wild rice their official state grain, but it hasn't happened yet. If you want to learn how to cook with wild rice, go to themeateater.com and check out Danielle Pruitt's recipe for turkey and wild rice soup or Justin Townsend's recipe for duck and wild rice casserole.
Next time, can you tell us what benefit it does, either the grain or the state, when they have an official grain?
In Michigan, for example, why they have been trying to do this for 4 years now, it would benefit the tribes in a way that when you have something listed as an official grain, it makes others respect it to where they could manage the resource better then. There's more awareness around it, so that's why they're trying to do it there. They recognize that they don't even know if it should be listed as like endangered, vulnerable, if it's a species of least concern. So in Michigan specifically, they're trying to get it established as the official grain, and then they think that'll open up the door to do other things. Question four, the topic is deer camp. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Christy Holmes. For sending in this great question, Christy is going to get a set of Meat Eater coasters that were signed by everyone in the room. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. Only two women have appeared solo on the cover of Field & Stream magazine. Name one of them. Only two women have appeared solo on the cover of Field & Stream magazine. Name one of those women.
Christy from Maine?
Yeah, I think I follow her
is
on
this
Instagram.
Christy from Maine?
She is from Maine because I had to ask her for her address to send her this prize, and she was a Maynard.
Yeah. I'm going.
I'm torn between two really bad.
Thank you, Christy, for sending in this great question. Again, looking for one of the two women that appeared solo on the cover of Field & Stream magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, there's decisions.
Oh, man.
This is hard.
Yeah, this is a good question.
That's why it's our listener question of the week. Does everybody have an answer?
Not yet. I want some more time to think about my answer.
You already wrote one down. You're just thinking if that's the one you want to go with?
Yep. I'll go with it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying Eva Shockey. Rick saying Kelly Glenn. Brody saying
Joan Wolf.
Joan Wolf. Alyssa saying Alyssa Smith. We should make that happen.
Love
Max
it
saying Eva Shockey. Seth saying Annie Oakley. Giannis saying Eva Shockey. The correct answers are Queen Elizabeth and Eva Shockey.
Oh, nice. Oh,
man.
I'm heating pretty
up,
well.
Heating up two for two.
Spencer, you probably don't even know who Joan Wolf is.
I don't. That's why I had to ask you who
Queen
that
Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth. Yeah, I would like context.
Queen Elizabeth appeared on the cover with her hunting dogs in 1976, and Eva Shockey was on the cover with her bow in 2014. Many other women have been on the cover of the magazine, but were always there with men, which makes the Queen Elizabeth and Eva Shockey covers unique.
And I could have, I almost didn't put Eva because I could have seen that it would have been her and her dad on the cover
for sure. Solo, though. Brody, are you going to explain Joan Wolf
she's
is?
She's a pioneer of American fly fishing.
Very cool.
Is it a wolf fly?
I think that was named after her husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
wasn't her father.
Yeah. You spelled it the same as that spelled. Okay.
Yes.
We're on to question five. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is biology. This animal, whose nickname is the walking pine cone, was once thought to be the source of COVID-19. Again, the topic is biology. This animal, whose nickname is the walking pine cone, was once thought to be the source of COVID-19.
Yeah, I've never heard of this before.
It's an animal, too?
It's an animal. I would love to imagine COVID-19 coming from a pine cone. Though.
Hey, you never know.
We had some quick answers in the room, and we also have some non-answers in the room. Seems like a portion of our players knew this right off the bat. You got all three of you think you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, Rick, Brody.
Yeah, I think
Brody,
so.
Brody, did you write one down already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. I'm
I like how the back of your board says, suck it, Brody.
I know.
There's a couple of them,
too. There's a couple. I was going to say, Brody is quite a fan club around here.
Does everybody have
makes
an answer?
Makes me feel loved.
Sure.
Max is scribbling. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying pangolin, Rick saying armadillo, Brody saying pangolin, Alyssa saying armadillo, Max saying badger, Seth saying bat, and Giannis saying rat. The correct answer is pangolin. So we had a few people get it. Early in the pandemic, some researchers thought that black market pangolins sold in Wuhan were the source of COVID, but a study that looked at human and pangolin genomes later exonerated them as the culprit. Pangolins were a natural suspect because there are nearly 200,000 of them sold on the black market each year, and they do carry other types of coronavirus.
Can you just kind of describe a pangolin?
It looked like an armadillo.
Yeah, it's like an armadillo. I think there's 8 kinds in the world. They're like very scaly. It almost looks like, Giannis, if I said it looks like a Pokemon, would you know what that means?
I would think Pikachu.
You know, it looks a lot like a walking
pine cone.
Isn't
there like 8 million different kinds of Pokemons?
Yes.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Like if I had to think of an animal that looks like it was created for anime, pangolin would be one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to say it.
Phil, agree or disagree with me on the pangolin looking like a Pokemon, and then give us a scoreboard update.
Now, why did you choose Phil?
Well, here's the thing, Spencer. I can tell you a lot about Pokemon and nothing about a pangolin.
Okay.
Okay. With 1 point, we have Alyssa Smith. Then coming up next with 2 points is Max.
Woo!
And then with 3 points apiece, we have Seth and Rick. And all tied for first place, we have Sean, Giannis, and Brody with 4 points.
Ooh, this is tight.
It's a good game.
To see who is going to move on to the trivia championship.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Being prepared is all about having the right tools. The OnX off-road map and navigation app is the best to find off-road trails and off-grid camping, and to use fully functional GPS when you're out of service. And as we all know, that being out of service is usually where the best places start. Plus, there's color-coded public and private land boundaries, which are super handy for finding off-grid camping. And I said it before, but I want to make sure it sticks. Offline maps. What this means is it allows you to access all interactive land and trail data and custom map markups when you're out of service. Just download the map ahead of time. Your phone's internal GPS gives you full navigation capabilities offline, so you'll always know where you are and how to get home safely. I've been using OnX for many years. I use it, I'm not joking, on a daily basis. There is zero hunting I do without OnX. Go to onxmaps.com and use code MEATEATER to get 20% off your membership today. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie.
I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow, so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear.
Question 6. The topic is states. This next great question comes to us via Dylan Irvin. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Now, this is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out @SpencerNewArth. I will make it my most recent post. I am showing the room a picture of a license plate with the state's name photoshopped out. You need to tell me what state this belongs to. Now, here's why this is relevant. The license plate says Sportsman's Paradise on it. Oh, Rick didn't need any time at all to see that. Neither did Brody. It's almost as though
there are many Sportsman's Paradises out there.
Kremlin, Colorado. Remember that one?
And are you laughing because it's not a Sportsman's Paradise?
No, it is. It's just a rinky-dink little town, though. But that's what it's called.
Giannis, describe what you're seeing on that license plate.
It's looks like a... I'd go more of a sunrise background, like slightly pink on the bottom, and then kind of fades into a yellow. And then there's a... is that a pelican?
Looks like a pelican.
Looks like a pelican.
Standing on, this should give everybody a clue, standing on a piling.
And it has the word Sportsman's Paradise under it.
I'm feeling pretty confident.
Oh, I'm torn between
the piling
two.
Thing just I'm screwed torn me between, up.
I'm torn between
does anyone
two
else
well.
Want to look at what the
I
license plate is?
No, one of the two
is
right.
Man.
I just thought of another state that was like, oh, it could be that.
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
No.
I'm writing down my initial answer at the bottom.
Oh, lots of erasing from Max.
No, Max.
No, I stuck with it. I just put the initials.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying Louisiana. Ooh. Rick saying Louisiana.
My circled answer is my, I'm telling you, I wrote
Brody,
'cause I was torn between two.
Brody saying Louisiana. Ooh. Alyssa without an answer. Max saying Florida. Seth saying South Carolina.
Ooh, Seth.
And Giannis saying Florida. The correct answer is Louisiana.
Ooh.
Nice.
Ooh, boys. Good Damn. Job.
Do I get half Rude. A point for my second choice?
No, Max does have on his board, to his credit, second choice, Louisiana. Now, Louisiana's nickname is the Sportsman's Paradise. Other monikers the state goes by include Fisherman's Paradise, the Bayou State, the Sugar State, the Child of the Mississippi, the Creole State, the Holland of America, and the Pelican State.
Man, I was just there, too, not too long ago.
If anyone had it in them to get this right, Seth, I think it was you.
I know. I didn't pay attention
were,
to
Yeah, you were just there.
Plates. Spent a majority of my time on the ocean, though. Mm-hmm. You don't see plates
they got
out
vehicles there.
There.
You just saw a whole bunch of pelicans
on
pilings. Yeah, probably.
Question 7, the topic is cooking. This widely distributed reptile is said to have 7 distinct types of meat. What is it?
Wait, say that again.
This widely distributed
now,
reptile
if Steve were
is
here,
said to
he
have
would
7
already,
distinct types of meat.
He'd already be saying something.
You don't say.
Because... All right.
This widely distributed reptile said
argue.
To have 7 distinct types of meat. What is it,
I'm
Brody?
I'm going to argue in Steve's... if
the
this
guy,
goes a certain way, I'm going
to
argue
does
in
that
Steve's
to be
a,
man. How specific do we have to be?
You need to be
That's
specific.
What I'm getting at, Seth.
If you just said, like, deer, I would not accept deer.
There we
if
go.
The answer
okay.
was white-tailed
now
deer.
I won't argue.
You would need to write down white-tailed deer. One more time. This
you
widely
clear that
distributed
in the
reptile.
Question.
Is said to have 7 distinct types of meat. What is it? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying snapping turtle. Rick saying common iguana. Brody saying snapping turtle. Alyssa saying alligator. Max saying snapping turtle. Seth saying snapping turtle. And Giannis saying snapping turtle. They got it. The answer is snapping turtle.
Heck yeah.
I'm very glad you specified you needed to have a specific.
Yeah,
because
I had turtle.
Me too.
The seven types of meat snapping turtles supposedly have are beef, chicken, fish, goat, pork, shrimp, and veal. If you want to buy it online, the boneless meat costs about $40 per pound. And if you want to learn how to clean one yourself, then turn to page 256 in the Meat Eater Fishing Game Cookbook. That's one of the things I miss most about living in Montana versus coming from Illinois or South Dakota. All the reptiles and amphibians.
Yep, totally.
Like, you just don't see snapping turtles crossing the road here. I don't live in Eastern Montana.
Nothing like Glacial Lakes of South Dakota, though.
You were just there at some wacky museum.
Those are Brody's words calling it wacky, not mine.
You don't think that museum you were at is slightly strange?
Yes, I would agree with that. It is slightly strange. We're at question 8. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Howard Whiteman. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What organization is in charge of the annual Christmas bird count? Again, what organization is in charge of the annual Christmas bird count? Brody knew it right away.
Maybe.
I don't know how to spell it.
As what usual. Organization is in charge of the annual Christmas bird count? Does everybody have an answer?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying Audubon. Rick saying Ducks Unlimited. Brody saying Audubon. Alyssa saying Audubon. Max saying U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Seth saying the Audubon Society. And Giannis saying the National Audubon Society. The correct answer is the National Audubon Society.
Spencer, you had me with organization.
Phil, I'm on the edge of my seat. What's going on?
Now, this used to be referred to as... That's right, Brody. That's right. You are the most anxious one in the room, and we already know that he's moving on to the championship. I really appreciate it.
I want to know what's going on with everyone else.
Some people think that, like, the competitiveness between folks like you and Steve is, like, a bit, but it's not. It's absolutely not. Now, this used to be referred to as the Christmas side hunt, where hunters would go afield Christmas Day to see who could kill the most birds. But it was changed to a birding survey event in 1900, which meant that guns were no longer welcome. If you want to participate in the Christmas bird count in 2022, which I plan to because there's one in Bozeman, then go to audubon.org for more information. Phil, give Brody a scoreboard update.
With 5 points, we have Seth Morris. Flip-flop Flesher. With 6 points, we have Giannis Poutelis, the Latvian Eagle, and tied for first place with 7 points are Brody Henderson, who we know is already moving on, and Sean Weaver.
Ooh, wow.
Having a week.
Question 9. The topic is hunting. What biblical figure was the great-grandson of Noah and described as a mighty hunter before the Lord? What biblical figure was the great-grandson of Noah and described as, this is a quote, a mighty hunter before the Lord? This pagan group did not know it right off the bat.
Oh, man, I was out hunting.
No, I was born and raised Catholic.
You should go visit that wacky museum, Brody. You might learn a thing or two.
I know. Yep. Speaking of Noah.
Ooh, this is bad that I don't know this.
Yeah.
Again, what biblical figure was the great-grandson of Noah and described as, quote, a mighty hunter before the Lord?
Can you say it one more time?
What biblical figure was described as the great-grandson of Noah and, quote, a mighty hunter before the Lord? Did I give it to you that time?
No.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying Solomon. It. Rick saying Rick Samson. Brody saying it, John. Alyssa without an answer. Max saying Lion. Seth saying St. Hubert. And Giannis saying Josiah. Nobody got it.
Oh,
the answer is Nimrod.
Oh, that's why the old Nimrod term comes from.
Oh, man. Sean, you had me all excited. Rick had it. Damn it.
The usage of Nimrod as an insult was actually popularized by the Looney Tunes. Bugs Bunny, often sarcastically referred to as Elmer Fudd as a Nimrod, and Daffy Duck also called him My Little Nimrod in a 1948 cartoon. For more on Nimrod and hunting in the Bible, listen to episode 119 of the Meat Eater podcast with religious scholar Bracy Hill.
Wasn't St. Hubert the patron saint of hunters?
He was, right. Yes, he was.
He inspired the Jägermeister logo because St. Hubert saw a white stag walking through the forest with a glowing cross hanging from its antlers.
Maybe you'll see that one in elk season, Giannis.
Question 10. The topic is fishing. What reservoir is formed by Hoover Dam? Again, what reservoir is formed by Hoover Dam? Bro, did you know this?
Hold on.
This game is shaping up for overtime, which we haven't had in a minute. Again, what reservoir is formed by Hoover Dam? Does everybody have an answer?
I don't feel good about it.
Giannis? Oh, he's erasing. You good? Yeah. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Sean saying Lake Powell, Rick saying Lake Powell, Brody saying Lake Mead, Alyssa saying Lake Mead, Max saying Hoover Lake, Seth saying Lake Powell, and Giannis saying Lake Powell. The correct answer is Lake Mead. Making Brody Henderson our unlikely winner. Now the whole room had shifted to Lake Powell when the answers were revealed, but Brody had it right.
What's Powell? Glen Canyon Dam?
I think Glen Canyon.
Yeah, it is.
So how many answers did Brody get right to be our winner?
He ended with 8 points.
8 points. And how were the other three moving on, and what was their score that are going to the Trivia Championship?
It's just a countdown. We have Sean with 7, Giannis with 6, and Seth with 5.
Very good. Now what happens next is Brody is going to choose where our $500 donation goes. So, Brody, what's it going to be?
Let's do Trout Unlimited. We haven't done, like, a water fish conservation thing, I don't think. Have we, Spencer?
No, I think you're right, Brody. We have not done that. What I like about when Brody wins is he diversifies his earnings. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to, like, TRCP or the...
Everyone deserves a little bit, right?
That's right. I like it, Brody. Well done. Now, the next episode you're going to hear, again, is going to be 7 new players competing to see who gets to go to the championship for episode 3. You guys have any thoughts on who might make it in that round? I think we have Steve, Garrett, Corey, Corinne, some folks like that. Who do you think is going to come out of that round? Now, I haven't revealed this either to Steve, but he's also going to get a bye like Brody did.
Boy, we got to know everyone that's playing to figure out who's going to make it.
Yeah. Corey will make it.
You think Corey will?
Yeah,
probably
think so.
Garrett too.
Okay.
Sounds like that's the B team. I guess you had all the A team here to make the competition
I'm with
stiffer.
You, Giannis.
That's right.
Corner was the C team, I guess.
What's it going to take to win that round to make it to round 3 out of their group?
That's
probably
usually
only like 3 or 4.
Oh, that's brutal. That's usually based on the script that I write, and I haven't written that one yet, so we'll see. To be determined.
Okay.
It would be interesting if you gave them the same questions you gave us today.
You know, I thought about that, but it wouldn't make for a very good listen.
No, not
I think
at
it'd
all.
Be hard to tune into that one
true.
As well.
For sure. You already know the answers.
That's right. Tune in next time for the next episode of Meat Eater Trivia. You're going to get 10 new questions, 7 new players. This is the only game show where conservation always wins.
Good job, Spencer.
Thanks for having me, Spencer. I'm not doing this again.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate Batteries. I use Interstate Batteries in my boats. I use Interstate Batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.